welcome to America Trends. Thank you for being with us for this hour. I'm Amy Fuller. Coming up, we want to tell you he lived through his son being run down by an illegal alien. The son did not make it. Not only did the illegal alien strike his son, he backed up and then went forward and took off and struck his son again. We're going to talk to Don Rosenberg. He now has a group called AVIAC, Advocates for Victims of Illegal Alien Crime. He is dedicating his life to trying to stop illegal immigration. So we will have more from him ahead. We'll also talk about the heavy-handed arrest of Roger Stone. All the political news of the day with Tom Del Picaro of Political Vanguard, also a contributor for Fox Business and Forbes. Plus, what kind of case the kids from Covington Catholic might have against the media for slandering their names. Yeah, Tom's a lawyer, too. Also, the potential for another shutdown. And regarding that shutdown, President Trump says that if we don't get a fair deal, he will shut the government down by February 15th. He made some some tweets today reiterating that he does have his own deadline. He will use an executive order if Congress doesn't give him some help. Listen.
So let me be very clear. We really have no choice but to build a powerful wall or steel barrier. If we don't get a fair deal from Congress, the government will either shut down on February 15th again, or I will use the powers afforded to me under the laws and the Constitution of the United States to address this emergency. We will have great security. And I want to thank you all very much. Thank you very much.
And back to Trump's former confidant and advisor and still current friend, Roger Stone, who had that heavy-handed arrest Friday morning. My goodness, he's still out on bail after that huge theatrical performance by the FBI Friday morning. 29 agents arriving at his house in the early morning hours for this man, 66 years old, some 17 vehicles, all the big guns, all having to do with the Mueller investigation. People still talking about it all over Twitter. And Roger Stone, for his part, I'm making the rounds on TV. And we've got conservative commentator Terrence K. Williams, who also has some questions about it all.
I want to know, why did the FBI contact CNN before they arrested Roger Stone? Why did they give CNN a tip, huh? I have never heard of the FBI calling news reporters before they arrest somebody. That just don't make no sense. The FBI usually come alone and they come quietly. They don't bring CNN with them. I have never heard of the FBI bringing CNN with them when they go arrest people. That just don't make no sense. It sounds real fraudulent, okay? And then I want to know this. The FBI came 20 people deep, like Roger Stone was going to be a threat. So if he was such a threat, why would you bring loud-mouthed CNN with you? Why? It just don't make sense at all. Exactly. This is a political, motivated witch hunt. And Roger Stone is not guilty, okay? Just because he's arrested, that does not make him guilty.
The cold is going to be a danger for so many across the USA coming up this week. The threat of a polar vortex again bearing down after about 5 years after the last one. People talking about it all over social media as well. That's what could come, yes. Temperatures expected to drop well below zero in the Midwest, as cold as around minus 30 in some places. And some places will feel like minus 60. Might feel like this. You're seeing some vintage video, our TV viewers, of 1920s Chicago. Snowstorm decked the streets and citizens and the newfangled automobile they all tried to deal. We'll be back after this. Welcome Welcome back to America Trends. Glad you're with us tonight. Our audience on the U2 America TV network and our listeners on BizTalk Radio. Glad to have all of you. There it is. You know, you can just grab this stuff on demand if you ever want to get online on the BizTalk Radio website or on U2America.com. Also, click through, find us on social media, and we will see you online. We'll all be friends. We're going to talk to Tom Del Beccaro right now about a few things covering the political spectrum. One thing that's still so much being talked about, the MAGA hat kids, as they're called, those teenagers from Covington Catholic that just over a week ago, this man you see got in their face, Nathan Phillips, and the media jumped to a conclusion. A bunch of stuff was written. A bunch of threats were made against the kids. Why? All because it was their fault, because they were wearing MAGA hats. So the celebrities and politicians were online targeting the teens, even doxing them, giving out private information like their addresses and phone numbers. And some of the kids have now hired attorneys. Will they be successful if they sue? We're welcoming again, as I said, Tom Del Beccaro. He is with Political Vanguard, politicalvanguard.com, the author of his latest book, The Divided Era. Also a contributor to Fox Business and Forbes. And there's politicalvanguard.com. You can always find. He's got articles, writes a few a week, and he's very active on social media, so follow him there, too. Tom, what do you think about these kids hiring a lawyer? There's a pretty high bar when it comes to libel and slander, but is it different because these are teenagers?
Well, it's different because these kids aren't public figures. The big departure, the big drawing line is whether you're a public figure, say, like myself, or whether you're an unknown. And these kids are unknown. They are not public figures. And therefore, there's a much easier claim to be made on their behalf. And calling them racist and all of these associated things that they said really places the whoever did that in legal jeopardy. And they can get sued in federal court if they're not located in the same place as those kids, which is Kentucky. So you're likely to see a lot of federal suits for libel for anyone. I noticed one attorney said they'll give you 48 hours to take it down. And whoever didn't can easily be sued. And it's going to be pretty easy to prove that these kids aren't racist or anything like that. And so, yeah, this could be a huge windfall for all of these kids, because you're not allowed to say those kind of things about people that are blatantly not true if you're the media.
It all happened in D.C. They were sort of gathered together waiting for their bus to pick them up and take them home. And when they were approached, and, you know, you have to prove malicious intent. And that can be hard, but here it's just, there's so many obvious, like, really harsh and threatening things that were done to these, once again, they were kids. And you think they'll be able to secure a judgment then?
Yeah, I think these things, these cases will likely settle, but I'm glad that they're standing up to the crowd, the bullies, for doing this. And, you know, this is, goes way back. I mean, in jurisprudence in the Western world, you know, it goes back thousands of years. So this is pretty simple stuff. It's not very exotic. To accuse someone of being a racist besmirches their name. I wouldn't be surprised if in certain jurisdictions that's libel per se, meaning you don't even have to prove anything other than the fact that they said it. And then there's the question of damages. And this is an important thing that needs to be done, because this growing mob atmosphere, which is what you get in as totalitarian states emerge, and I hate to say that about the United States, is, but the reality is you have the government breaking people's rights or treating them like mass murderers in the case of Roger Stone, and then you have government officials who egg on people to take certain actions. And now we have this mob mentality that is meant to shout down people and scare away anyone who's right of center. And I'm glad someone's using the legal system to make people pay for such abusive behavior.
Yeah, many people, and it sounds like you too, are very sort of relieved that they are taking the effort, making the effort to go after punitive damages, because where will it stop? People need to think twice before they start posting things like this and making so many threats and damaging assessments of their character.
Especially the major news organizations. Look, if I was, I happen to be a lawyer. This is easy money, actually, for the attorney involved in this case, because this is horrific. I mean, anybody who saw this little kid, he's anything but imposing. He's, no matter what Savannah, I don't know what her last name is,
Guthrie
I think, said about him. And the idea that he, you know, was this mean or racist person is laughable just by looking at him. And so I think this is going to be easy money for the attorneys. And maybe the networks will, you know, think before they do this again.
Absolutely. And it's not even about being first. It's about keeping your mouth shut when you're supposed to be a news person and you're saying these things over and over again. And this time they hit kids, and this time it's just not right. And this time I hope it does go somewhere. And Tom, it does bear mentioning that the families, the attorneys for these children, did, as you say, said, take it down within 48 hours, apologize within 48 hours. And some didn't. So we'll see what happens, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And these kids, Tom, this could follow them around. Like you and I, we look at this and we're irate for the kids. But there are a lot of people who hate President Trump, and they're going to hate anyone in a MAGA hat or anyone who ever wore one. They'll be going after jobs in a few years. They can look them up, Google them, and say, oh, that was one of the Covington kids. And that's one of the issues that they're concerned about, the perpetuity
of actually,
it.
I've actually prosecuted a similar case to this on behalf of a young woman who was cyberbullied, and it does affect. It doesn't affect all people the same, but it certainly affected her dramatically. But this is the new age. It's okay to rush to judgment and shout down anyone on the right for wearing a hat. Now, and this hat is supposed to be offensive. It's okay for Women's March to wear particular clothing. I'm not even going to mention
the pink hats. The pink hats. And thank you for keeping it classy.
Yeah, and those kind of things. But it's okay for them to do it, but not for this side. And thank goodness they're pushing back.
We're with Tom DelPecoro on America Trends. Going to talk about that Roger Stone heavy-handed arrest, the presidential candidates, Kamala Harris throwing her hat into the ring, and a bunch of other stuff back after this.
And I know it's going to be. You can be a cowboy on the Texas plain, or a plowboy waiting on the rain.
There were some cowboy tactics used against Roger Stone early Friday morning as, 29 agents, some 17 heavily armored cars, big guns, drew up upon his home and woke him up in the early morning hours while CNN recorded from a short distance. We're back with Tom DelPecoro of Political Vanguard. That is politicalvanguard.com. Go there to find all his articles and just some good content. This is his book, The Divided Era. Tom, we're going to talk about the shutdown and if we're interested in any of the presidential candidates throwing their hats into the ring for 2020, if we're excited yet or if we're waiting for Michelle Obama or Hillary Clinton to say they're coming in before we get any anticipation. But what did you think when this all went down Friday?
Well, first of all, I think that CNN has someone who used to work for Comey, and they were there before the raid occurred. That is complete and utter corruption that the FBI has the cameras show up. That's number one. Number two, for all your viewers, the FBI knows that Roger Stone doesn't have a gun permit and has never had a gun in his life. They knew that. They know everything about this guy because they, in my view, unlawfully have combed through his entire existence. Okay? The fact that they showed up with an army battalion but wouldn't do it at Parkland.
Worth noting, would not do it at Parkland. Exactly.
And had more people than went after. Sorry about that.
Tom.
Then more people went after this guy than Osama bin Laden. Shows you.
Benghazi.
This jackbooted thug mentality of Robert Mueller. He is. I can't express enough disgust of what's happened to our government. Now, did Roger Stone, for those people who don't know about him, Roger Stone tends to exaggerate. He tends to want people to make him for them to believe that he maybe has more information than he does. Did he exaggerate or potentially lie to Congress? Maybe, maybe not. But there's no reason to show up with all those people to arrest this man. By the way, he's broke. So it's just disgusting what they're doing on two different levels. The corruption of inviting CNN in advance, and then this process of overdoing it when it comes to arms. It's just disgusting what it's come down to.
Yeah, same with Jerome Corsi. Corsi in that same vein, and he's 73, I think. He's broke, and he's waiting for them to come knocking on his door. He doesn't know. But and Roger Stone says he is going without insurance now, health insurance, and it's a desperate
Absolutely.
Situation.
And this is all, these are all process crimes.
Yes.
What I mean by that is there's nothing here related to Russia. This is him not being forthright during the investigation.
Alleged obstruction and witness tampering and things like that, alleged.
Yeah. So they go and arrest this guy, even though the Inspector General's report said that Andy McCabe lied four different times. I don't notice them showing up with machine guns at his house.
Oh, there's a whole list of Democrats.
Yes, it's just obscene. And if anybody's sitting there watching, say, gleefully watching, oh, they're getting close to Trump, this isn't, who cares in the long run? Is this the kind of government you want where they can burst through doors with all these people for crimes of lying to Congress? No. And place your own family or yourself in that position. You know, they went after the other guy as well. Paul Manafort at 6 a.m. There's no reason to do anything at 6 a.m. Zero. He would have surrendered. Both of them would. Mm-hmm. I guess the third thing is they wasted a ton of money because all they had to do was make a phone call and they would have shown up.
And that's our money. That's our money. And if for anyone, all the things that he's accused of happened after Mueller came on the scene. It wasn't what Mueller was hired for. And for people keeping score, Tom, it's like five people who've been arrested or indicted, and none of them have anything to do with Russia. It's all other stuff like taxes, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. So let's switch quickly to Michelle Obama or Hillary. I actually think
Kamala Harris. Oh, listen, you can't wait, can you? Look at that.
I actually think Kamala Harris is a much more interesting entrant than Hillary would be. Hillary, the Democrats are very much, what have you done for me lately, or what are you going to do for me tomorrow? Mm-hmm. And Kamala Harris is the hot pick right now. She does great at fundraising. Look, I debated her in the U.S. Senate race, remember, and to me, she's an empty suit. I happen to have won the debate in the statewide poll, even in California, 38-32 over her. The other candidates got some other numbers. So imagine that I was able to outpace her. But the point here is that she checks a lot of boxes for the Democrats, mixed race, fresh face.
Optics.
Some optics. She's got, she's articulate, even though she doesn't say anything dramatic.
Yeah, exactly.
And she's new. They constantly go after the new person. And the news will do this as well. And she fundraises well, believe me. Emily's List loves her. And so she'll be in the top 3 to 5, I think, all the way through to March.
Do you think Michelle Obama will jump in? Because then Kamala Harris and the others will be totally yesterday's news.
I think it would be laughable if she did. She is nowhere near as accomplished as, and I'm going to anger some of your viewers by saying this, as Hillary was. She does not have a history of being in public policy. And so for her, she probably, I'll anger another set of your viewers by saying she could probably tell people where to go on vacation, but she is not a public policy person. So if she were to run, I don't know what she'd have to offer, but
the Democratic base would love the sparkle of Michelle Obama, don't you think?
The Democratic base would? No,
I don't even
know.
Just a sparkle.
No, you know, there's recent articles about how the Democratic base is already tired of the antics of Ocasio-Cortez and want her to put up or shut up. And this is going to be a problem the whole time because there's not much that they can actually do. So no, I think maybe it'd be a splash, but I don't think it'd get anywhere. And I also think Americans would see it as cynical. The idea that we're just going to elect people and then their spouses, that's not good governance.
Yeah, agreed. So just Kamala Harris announcing her run.
Yeah, I think
Sunday. Go ahead.
I think between now and the end of March, the top two candidates for the Democrats will be Biden and her, Kamala Harris. Potentially, if Hillary gets in, she will score points as well, and then we'll see about Bernie Sanders. And see how much staying he has. But those are your top four in my view.
Should be fun to watch. In 30 seconds, can you sound off on the shutdown and what you think is going to happen in the next few days?
Well, look, there's no way this wasn't going to be played by the media as a loss for Trump. And he did decide to reopen it and did it without the funding. So by a purely mathematical thing, it looks like the Democrats won. Although I do think the Democrats lost with a lot of people. By being extreme and saying we're not willing to compromise, A, and B, saying things like walls don't work. I ask your viewers, do you have any walls in your house that don't work?
Yeah.
Yes, walls work. And it's common sense. So I think the Democrats lost in the long run, but it's still a long way to go. I hope people see my Fox Business News column tomorrow as well, though.
Tom Del Vaccaro, contributor to Fox Business and Political Vanguard. He runs that whole thing and contributor to Forbes. We'll look for you with all that. Tom, thanks for your time.
All right. Thanks so much.
Back after this with Don Rosenberg, advocates for victims of illegal alien crime.
First, it was his wife scolding lawmakers in Sacramento for supporting a bill that would stop police from impounding the cars of unlicensed drivers. Then in 2015, Don Rosenberg was handcuffed for interrupting a hearing on sanctuary cities on Capitol Hill.
I'm Don Rosenberg.
Now Rosenberg is speaking out again.
Imagine if Kate had been your daughter, Jameel or Drew, your son.
His son Drew was killed in 2010 in San Francisco by Roberto Gallo, who was here illegally and was driving without a license.
A new caravan is now making its way through Mexico, heading to the U.S.'s southern border. And the fight over a wall has, of course, paralyzed our government, which is just reopening after a partial shutdown, the longest ever. President Trump says Democrats have till February 15th to come up with a deal, or he will shut it down again or use an executive order to build that wall. That's how serious he is about what this means for border security. Joining us tonight is Don Rosenberg, whose own son, a law school student, was killed by an illegal alien in 2010 in California. And we say welcome, Don. Thank you for being with America Trends.
Oh, thank you, Amy, so much for having me on.
For those who aren't familiar with Drew's story, can you share what happened to him?
Yeah, sure. Drew was a second-year law student in San Francisco. He was coming home one night. Rush hour traffic going very slowly when Roberto Gallo, an illegal alien from Honduras, tried to make a last second left-hand turn. They collided in the intersection and had Gallo stopped, I wouldn't be here today talking to you because they were both going pretty slowly. But instead of stopping, he accelerated. He drove over my son, who was on a motorcycle at the time. His helmet came off, wedged under one of Gallo's tires. He backed up, driving over him a second time, and then tried to go forward to escape and drove over him a third time. By that time, a very brave guy had gotten out of the car and stood in front of Gallo's car, and he stopped, but his rear tire was on my son's abdomen. Five guys had to lift the car off his body. He was basically dead on the scene, dead at the scene.
I am so, so sorry. I can't imagine that the pain and the confusion over how such a thing could happen would ever go away. So this Honduran, Robert Gallo, how long had he been in the United States?
He had been in the United States since 1999. In 2000, he had been given temporary protective status. although you're still considered to be here illegally, that actually gave him the right to get a driver's license, and found out that he had failed three times to get the license. He was then caught once driving the wrong way on a one-way street. Our lovely new candidate for president, Kamala Harris, was the district attorney at the time. They dropped the charges and let him go. And he got his car back in about 18 hours and kept driving. And a few months later, he killed my son.
You've got to be kidding.
No. And, you know, listening to her yesterday when she was announcing her candidacy, I can't say on TV what I think about her. But other than the fact that she's a liar, she refused to ever speak to us. Now, to be fair to her, 2 weeks before she was elected attorney general. So by, you know, this happened on November 16th. So by, you know, December, January 1st, she was the attorney general. But even at that, she refused to speak to us. When she was DA, I sent her a letter, got a response from some moron about 8 months later, basically telling us that everything we were complaining about had been taken care of, which, of course, none of it had been. She's refused to ever meet with me. I've been to, you know, her office in D.C., where there's a big sign in the front door welcoming dreamers, but I'm not, and neither were any of the people that I was with that had also lost a loved one. None of us were welcome there. She, like I said, she's refused to meet with me, and you know, she has her priorities, and victims of illegal alien crime are not one of them.
So much to talk with you about, including the group you did start. Have any changes been made since this all happened in 2010? But first, did this Honduran who killed your son, was he deported?
Well, he eventually got deported. I do want to say one thing. I mean, we hired a private investigator to look into this guy, and I actually believe that he... And I'm not condoning it, but I believe he fit the description of somebody who came here to better their life. He had really no criminal record. I mean, he should have had a driving without a license charge that was dropped. And, you know, who knows if he had anything else. But he didn't fit the characteristics of, you know, most of these crimes. And I, you know, deal with them every day. You know, that said, after he was convicted, ironically, my younger son was interning for Henry Waxman, who was our congressman at the time in D.C. And so we went to meet Waxman after the guy was convicted and said, look, I want to make sure this guy's detained and deported. And we Waxman got a letter back from the USCIS saying that he would not be deported because, and this is an exact quote, he's only committed one crime of moral turpitude.
What?
Yeah, that's what came back. I will say, because I wasn't willing to, you know, accept that, it took me about 8 months, finally got him detained, and he finally did get deported. And I'll tell you, I don't feel great about it because I see so many other people that are so much worse, you know, than he is that they're protected. And, of course, now California sanctuary you know, state policy, he would have never been deported. And ironically, because you hear now people, you know, arguing over the wall and what should be done and what compromise, and people are talking about the 2013, quote, immigration reform bill. If that bill passed under its 2013 status, Gallo would not only be allowed to come back into the country, but could get on a pathway to citizenship.
It's generous for you to say that you feel bad that this guy had to be deported and he fit the description of someone who maybe could, you know, do well for America and didn't have, you know, a sinister heart. But it almost makes you target the politicians again and look at the loopholes. And there's a whole segment we could do about illegals driving because they don't really know how. And those are some of the things you talked about that make them a complete danger. Your co-founder, Maureen, same thing. Her son was hit and killed by an illegal who backed up and then took off again.
Yeah, that I'm working on so many cases on a regular basis where it's traffic fatalities. And I was the only person. I mean, there's 39 million people in the state of California. When AB 60, the driver's license bill, was proposed, I was the only person in the entire state to testify against it. And, you know, the whole purpose of it, or what, you know, their theory was, you know, once they get a driver's license, they'll be better drivers, and they also won't, you know, the roads will be safer, and they'll stop all the hit and runs, which they're notorious for, because now they have a license. I never once in the hearing, and you can go to CaliforniaGov.tv and listen to the hearing, so I can't lie about that. I never once in the hearing said they shouldn't get driver's licenses because they were here illegally. And in fact, this whole process started when you showed my wife at the beginning. We were told he was here legally, so we were only dealing with the unlicensed driver issue.
Oh, really? Huh.
At that time, yeah.
Okay, Don, can you stand by? I want to bring you back after the break. Okay, we're talking to Don Rosenberg, co-founder of Fight Sanctuary State and the president of Advocates for Victims of Illegal Alien Crime. You're watching America Trends.
Two years, ICE officers made 266,000 arrests of aliens with criminal records, including those charged or convicted of 100,000 assaults, 30,000 sex crimes, and 4,000 violent killings. Over the years, thousands of Americans have been brutally killed by those who illegally entered our country. And thousands more lives will be lost if we don't act right now. This is a humanitarian crisis, a crisis of the heart, and a crisis of the soul.
Back with America Trends now. We are with the co-founder of Fight Sanctuary State and the president of Advocates for Victims of Illegal Alien Crime. Don Rosenberg lost his son, Drew, a law student, in 2010 after he was struck and killed by an illegal alien. Don, welcome back.
Thank you.
So after that happened in 2010, you went through the proceedings. How long did it take for you to take a breath and say, I've got to do more about this. I've got to dedicate my life to helping people like Drew before something like this can happen? Because I'm sure every time you hear about an Officer Singh, someone like Maureen's son, every time you hear about another one killed, it just breaks your heart all over again.
Well, you know, I sort of originally thought, okay, I want to get through the criminal process before looking into anything else. And as I said, I was just looking at unlicensed drivers. Immigration had nothing to do with it. So, you know, probably sometime in January, a couple months later, I started just to do some research on unlicensed drivers, and I was horrified to find out that unlicensed drivers were killing 7,500 people a year.
Well, 7,500 people a year, where in the state alone or in the U.S.?
No, in the nation. But, you know, only at that time, 28,000 people were being killed by, in traffic collisions. So unlicensed drivers, although they're a small portion or a relatively small portion of the people on the road, they were killing people at a rate five times higher than the general public. So I kept doing research on that. And then the scene you showed early on with my wife, literally 2 days before that hearing, we found out that that bill was going to be heard in Sacramento. And at the last second, we just said, we're going.
Describe the bill again. Describe what started happening and what Jerry Brown has done in recent years, governor of California until recently. Describe what's gone down.
Well, what was happening at that point, and I want to preface it by saying that Jerry Brown, when he was running for his first term as governor, said that he would not sign a driver's license bill. But that bill was not a driver's license bill.
Hey, look, you are in cuffs.
Yeah, by the way, I didn't, just so I can make a point quickly, and I'll come back to the driver's thing. I did not interrupt the hearing. Interrupting a hearing in session is a felony, and I don't break the law. What happened was, after the hearing was over, I approached one of the people who was speaking, and I didn't touch him, hit him, or anything. I just asked him a question, and he kind of really didn't answer. Not only was he a pastor, but he looked in my face very angrily because he had made a comment that only a few people were being killed by people in the country illegally. And
oh, only a few. Well,
only a
cool.
few. Well, yeah. Well, I said to him, and you can hear this on the C-SPAN tape. You can't see us, but the cameras were still rolling. And I said, a few thousands. And then I got really mad and said, tens of thousands. And then the Capitol Hill police came up to me and asked me if I would leave. And then when I got outside the hearing, they handcuffed me. They didn't arrest me. They were very polite, very nice. Can't complain about them. They did take me down to the paddy wagon. But since I hadn't committed a crime, they couldn't arrest me. But anyway, back to the thing you asked me about. The bill that we were arguing at that time was just to stop impounding cars of unlicensed drivers. Well, not only was that cited as one of the best ways to get these people off the road, but the bill only covered unlicensed drivers that were in the country illegally. So if you were a citizen who was driving without a license, you were punished more than the illegal alien was.
Wow. You know what, Don? I hear none of this in the mainstream media. That blows my mind.
Well, because you won't. I mean, there's, I'm constantly fighting with the LA Times and, the New York Times will barely speak to me. Occasionally they will. MSNBC will not speak to me at all. CNN, I think I've been on twice. They have this, I'll call it unwritten, maybe it's written, policy that if it shows illegal aliens in a negative light, it does not make it in print or on the air. And occasionally, like Officer Singh, they kind of got caught because here's a police officer murdered. They put the story on air, but they didn't know till a day later that the killer was illegal. Same thing, Molly Tibbetts' story was on the front page of every newspaper, for a month, constantly. I can't speak for every newspaper, but I'll tell you, the LA Times, when her body was found, and a few hours later, they caught the guy or arrested the guy who killed her, who was here illegally. First, they waited 2 days to run the story. They ran it at the bottom of page 8, and the headline is something, it's bashing Trump. So it's not, it's just ludicrous.
Molly and then,
yeah, they showed a picture of the murderer. Yeah. Molly was mentioned in the story twice. And one of the subhead was from the attorney saying that the guy was in the country legally. I was a publisher for 15 years. Every single thing about that story, if that person had been working for me as an editor or whatever, they would have been fired. But the main thing is they just don't cover it. We had a trial here a couple months ago, 2 years ago, an illegal alien set fire to an apartment building, killed 5 people. The trial was, I guess, right after Halloween. They never ran one word about the trial. When somebody, does kill somebody, most of the time, they will leave out the fact that they're and it's just not the LA Times, it's every, they leave out the fact that the person was in the country illegally. Everybody is called an immigrant, no matter what their status is. You don't become an immigrant when you step over the border. You don't become an immigrant when your visa expires. there's a legal process to become an immigrant, but they want to hide the fact that these people are committing a lot of crimes, and, they are.
Yeah, like you say, 20-year-old Iowa college student Molly Tibbetts back in late fall last year was front page news, and then when they found out it was an illegal who did it, it kind of hush-hush. You know what, Don, our time is short, but we can go to your website and support you. I'm sure you would appreciate that, yeah?
Absolutely. We don't get the big support that the other side gets, so anybody volunteer?
Okay, we're back after this.
We'll be right back.
Thank you for being with us on America Trends. I'm Amy Fuller. Thanks to Tom DelVaccaro of PoliticalVanguard.com. And we just were so thrilled to welcome also, there it is, The Divided Era, his book, Don Rosenberg. He is president for the Advocates of Victims of Illegal Alien Crime. His son was killed by an illegal alien in 2010. If you'd like to support their group, please go to their website. We will be back with Don in coming weeks to keep us posted on everything they are doing. Finally tonight, furloughed government employees are headed back to work, but not before the whole idea of cutting back gave Conan O'Brien an idea about culling his workforce. Actually, this clip is from the era of the 2013 shutdown, but you just have to see as Conan takes a tally of his employees.
Good evening. I'm Conan O'Brien, president of The Conan Show. As you know, we face a government crisis. As we tape this segment right now, our government has shut down and all non-essential personnel have been furloughed. They've been laid off. Well, I thought in keeping with the times and to support my country, I should probably also lay off all non-essential personnel here at the Conan Show. By the way, I'm wearing this Guinness top right here, this little fleece, in the hopes that Guinness will see it and give me free Guinness. What are you doing right now?
I'm looking at a menu for a place called Simple Things.
Simple Things, what is it for?
It's a sandwich and pie shop.
Okay, is this something that I asked for?
Nope.
Is this for me?
Nope.
So this is a sandwich that would be for you?
Yeah, it's a pie.
You want to buy a pie? Yeah. You want to buy a pie for yourself. So as I'm looking for who's non-essential, I come across you and your, what is it? Buying a pie online?
Buying pie.
Buying a pie online. So, what are your duties?
My duties are to help you and assist you in your life.
Seriously. No, to assist me in my life.
In your work and personal life.
Would you say that you are essential personnel?
No, I wouldn't say I'm essential.
Sona.
Okay.
What's the deal here? Are you doing a crossword puzzle at your desk?
No.
This is your handwriting?
Yes.
And this is a crossword puzzle. And it was sitting on your desk. So you were doing a crossword puzzle on your desk?
No.
You can't lie in front of the camera. You can't lie.
Then yes, I was.
Okay. What are you stuck on? What's the word? Give us the thing.
I can't. No.
Well, just tell us which one it is.
If I say it and then, you know, this ends up on the thing, then people are going to think I'm stupid for not knowing it. So I just don't want to...
Okay.
Say it.
Okay, a three-letter word for vehicle that starts with C is car. I'm looking to find out who's essential personnel. What are your duties here?
I assist the executive producer.
What kinds of things do you assist him in doing? Just running his life, helping him?
I answer his phones and answer emails.
Is there anyone here on staff who you think is non-essential? If you had to give up one name, who do you think is non-essential?
Jordan Schlansky.
Do you want to think about it?
No.
Jordan?
Done.
Jordan is non-essential.
Yeah.
Why? Because what does he do?
I don't know. I just always see him filling up his Brita.
So if I was to let someone go on staff, you would recommend that it is?
Jordan Schlansky.
And you don't feel at all guilty giving up his name?
No.
Marie, I'm going to ask you, is there one non-essential person on the staff? Someone who you feel probably doesn't do that much and could be eliminated?
Just one?
Yeah. If I had to right now.
If I had to right now.
Yeah.
I mean Jordan Schlansky.